So what a great Sunday we have for you this morning, as we have an opportunity by God's grace to hear testimonies of God's saving work in individuals' lives. Each of these individuals have already professed to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The waters of baptism don't save them. Scripture tells us that the waters of baptism is a demonstration, an opportunity to publicly declare what has already taken place in an individual's life. They are declaring that they are dead to their sins and alive to Christ, that Jesus has given them a new life, eternal life. And so they get the opportunity to share that story. Some of them are little, some of them are older. But either way, God reached them right where they were at. And for those of us who know this by God's grace, it should be a reminder to us once again that doing what God says is better. To testify of God's grace is better. To do the hard thing, to get in front of people potentially, to testify of what Christ has done in their life, but that Jesus is better. I know I need that reminder every single day. You know, the psalmist says in Psalm 66, verse 16, "Come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul." The invitation is come and listen. That's why you're here, to listen. They have something to tell you. The emphasis here is, please listen. The idea here is that you're going to walk with them. You're going to see maybe in some of their testimonies that you can relate. They want you to listen. And it says, all you who fear God. The invitation is for all of you, all of me, that want to hear what God is doing. So do you want to hear what God is doing? That's the invitation. And they will tell you what he has done for their soul. The idea of soul here is their life. What God has done for their life. And Jesus died for their sins. That's what he's done for their life. He's given them a new life in him. These seven people are testifying of what Christ has done in their lives. And we should listen. John 3:36 says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life." To trust. The word believe means to trust. To trust the Son means to turn from your sin, to turn from your unbelief. That Jesus is the only way for your salvation and that he saves you from your sin. So listen. Listen to the young and listen to the older, for they want to tell you what Christ has done. Let's begin with Annalise. That was her dad. But I would do that too. Woo! Let's do it. Oh, I do. Yes. Here. No. There you go.
Hi, my name is Annalise Silva, and I'm a little nervous, so give me a little bit of grace. I grew up in a Christian home, and I grew up knowing God and learning about him. And I got baptized at the age of 8, but I didn't have saving faith. There was an impactful change in my life when we moved to Iowa from Texas. I was 9 at the time. It was hard being away from family and coming to a new place to start afresh. After this, everything went downhill for me. I was being bullied in school, and it got worse with time. Also, moving to a new place and not having my family around didn't help either. During these difficult times, I didn't go to God for help. Instead, I turned to myself. I tried to fix all the problems in my life instead of praying to the Lord for his peace and guidance. From living constantly in sin, I changed for the worse. I turned into a bitter and angry person towards everyone, and I didn't feel anything, no remorse. I became numb, and my heart became hard. I blamed God and everyone for what was going on in my life, but I never saw that I was the problem. From this, my loneliness and bitterness only grew. I felt ashamed and alone and lost hope that I could ever be saved. My belief in God dwindled as I doubted if God was even real. Over the years, I still tried to save myself out of my problems, and it didn't go well. I felt empty while I went through the motions of my life. I was lost, and I lost the meaning to live. During this time, I doubted my faith, quotes on that, in Jesus because of my sin and ugliness in my heart and my lack of fruit. I talked to my parents about my doubts, and they helped me by going through God's word to show what true faith looks like. We went through Paul's letters, mostly Romans, Ephesians, and Philippians. The word of God showed that in my life, I didn't have salvation in the Lord, and I wasn't truly saved. From this, I couldn't do communion, because in the word it says that I would make a mockery of Jesus if I did communion without having saving faith. From this, it really hurt me, and it was hard to face the truth that God showed me in his word that I wasn't a true believer. The day that the Lord opened my eyes to my sinfulness was in December of last year. It was Communion Sunday, and the sermon really convicted me. It was about the greatest gift being Jesus, and if you had accepted him into your life, or if you had rejected him. The Lord used Pastor Greg's sermon that day to open my heart that I've been rejecting Jesus for so long that he has been waiting for me to turn away from my sin, repent, and surrender my life to him. Realizing this, I broke down in church, and I went to the back during communion, and Mindy Jarman came and prayed with me till the end of the service. That Sunday, I went to Jesus because I finally understood that I was a sinner and that I needed saving and that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is the only thing that could save me and that my faith starts from surrendering your life to Jesus and turning away from my sin. Since that day, I've been spiritually growing with God's word, and God has put good examples of true Christ followers in my life, like my parents and Mindy. I now know that I am truly saved because I believe in Jesus' death on the cross, and he died for all my sins, past, present, and future. I know that I'm never alone because Jesus is with me and that I truly trust God. He'll never leave me, and he understands me. I now thank the Father for everything he has done in my life, the important people in my life, the ups and downs, and I'm thankful he saved all of us sinners because of his love, and I now love him fully with my heart. I have some scripture that helped me through this time. Romans 3:23-25. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as our propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Ephesians 2:8-10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. John 1:1-2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Thank you.
Amen. Dad? Let me grab a little piece of paper here. Annalise, you did awesome. Dad, can I get a little hoop? There it is. I'm rejoicing, Annalise, what God has done in your life, and thankful for your parents and how they have continued to pray and encourage you. What a gift that is. Okay, Gracie, come on up. See, they're cheering you, and you haven't even said anything. Proud of you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Gracie Bethards. I just started coming to High Point in March, so I'm still pretty fresh. I wanted to be able to pinpoint a time in my life without Jesus, but found that there just wasn't one. He's always been present. I just struggled to show gratitude for that and actually pursue a relationship with Jesus. I was blessed with a grandma that I could talk to when I had questions about Jesus, and a very involved mom that ran VBS and Sunday school when I was young. God also gifted me with a curious heart, so theology and history always held my attention. As I got older, though, I found that my friends didn't care about those things and that no one in my life wanted to dive into scripture or anything the way that I felt driven to. So I tried to change. In reality, I tried to ignore God. I tried to be like all the other girls, so they'd invite me to their birthday parties and help me with my hair and makeup before prom. And those girls did. I got invited, I was popular, and I had friends. But I was so alone. In my loneliness, I turned to medication. Maybe it was just some chemical imbalance. I turned to self-harming habits. Maybe I deserved to be unhappy. I turned to deeply harmful relationships. Maybe I was meant to save others. But shockingly, those were all futile efforts. I needed the love and redemption of Jesus Christ. I saw that and tried to compensate by attending weekly youth groups and going on missions trips every summer. But being human, even that was used to prove to myself that I was good and that I wasn't as bad as I felt. Those actions weren't used to glorify God. In my senior year of high school, I met a girl at work, a girl that God had encouraged me to be friends with all of high school, but that I'd once again ignored. She took me to church, she talked to me about the love of Jesus, and she was my first real friend. This was my first slap in the face moment with Jesus. I've had many of those moments since then, and each of those moments have shown me that when God calls on you, just answer. I still struggled with this for a while. I had a lot of bad habits to break, and I still do. This last fall, I was struggling with another round of depression and self-doubt. Finally, I realized that none of my usual ways of working through mental health issues were ever going to work for me. No amount of journaling, self-help books, therapy sessions, or medication was going to fix me. I reached out to my cousin, Dana Bailey, and asked if she'd go to church with me. She invited me to High Point. Within the first month of being here, I experienced fellowship like I'd never experienced it in my entire life. I was immediately part of the Women's Bible Study with Amber Soy and was encouraged to dive deep into God's Word. I started praying in the car on the way to work, writing down my prayers, doing weekly studies, and probably becoming the most annoying person at get-togethers because all I wanted to talk about was the work that Jesus was doing in my heart and all of the things that I was learning through my studies. In the Young Women's Study, we discussed the covenants that God has made with humanity. Every covenant God made led to the promise of his son, Jesus Christ. From Genesis 3:15, where God says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. They will strike at your head while you strike at their heel." All the way to the Gospels, where Jesus, Son of Man, Emmanuel, is sent to the cross to die, but then defeats death and rises again. Jesus died for my sins and then overcame death, rising on the third day, so that I would have eternal life with him. He has done this for me. His overflowing, abundant love is present in everything he does for me. I just have to be willing to see it. Since understanding the love of Jesus and walking in faith, I, a woman once riddled with anxiety, now feel confident to walk with Christ and to be a bold believer, despite what the world has to say. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." I have recently taken a job that I was hesitant to pursue and still struggle with some days. But this job gives me the opportunity to help a lot of people God calls on us to love, the brokenhearted and poor in spirit. God speaks to us through scripture and shared Matthew 22:37-39 with me. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, but the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." I know now that when the Holy Spirit calls on me, it's my job to answer and follow the wisdom of God in all that I do. Even when loving my neighbor is hard and listening willfully to the Holy Spirit seems impossible. He showed me that we are all image bearers and must love and serve accordingly. Even as I wrote this testimony, I struggled to find the words. But as I sat in a coffee shop, a woman peered over my shoulder and saw what I was writing. She said she was so happy to see me writing my testimony. I told her I was really struggling, and she encouraged me that the Holy Spirit would guide me. God is working in all of our lives all the time and offers encouragement in our struggles. God is so good. To close, I want to share a little blurb from Romans that has taught me the marks of a true Christian. Romans 12:9-13 says, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Thank you.
Amen. Wow. So good. So good. Praise the Lord, Gracie. Thank you. All right, Kate, come on up. See, young and old. All right. Ready? All right, here we go.
My name is Kate Vidron, and I have been coming to High Point Church my whole life. When I was about 7 years old, I accepted Jesus in my life, and I repented for my sins. When I did something foolish to my brother, I knew I should not have done that, and I apologized to my brother and to God. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I know I deserve to go to hell, but God forgave my sins, and I don't deserve it. I was always mean and bossy to some people sometimes, and I was angry at myself. And James 1:19 says, "Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger." And I did the opposite of what God's word said. And so this is why I want to get baptized.
Amen. Great job. So Kate is telling me, as a believer in Christ, I'm still going to struggle with sin? Yeah. That's what God's work is in a believer. Rooting out sin and living more in His light. Kate, thanks for that reminder. I appreciate the word that you've shared and the testimony that you gave. She did great, didn't she? All right. Bedelia. We're going to have some cute overload. Not that the other people weren't cute that were up here before. I'm just saying this is cute overload. I'll hold it for you. You can hold your paper.
Before I followed Jesus, I didn't know anything about Jesus. When my grandma told me about Jesus, I wanted to follow Jesus too. I like this scripture. It's called John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." The prayer back then was the family prayer that made me want to follow Jesus. The prayer is about, we pray, this is how we pray. We pray to help our family follow Jesus and our Lord. I'm living with Jesus in my heart by doing these things, following Jesus and trusting Jesus, and pray to God every day as our Lord and Savior. He died on the cross for our sins, and read the Bible.
Amen. Great job. You did great. Good job. All right. So, Bedelia, so oftentimes what I do when little ones are giving their testimonies, I want them to write it out. So that they can just write it out and share it and write it out. Bedelia and her grandma came to my office, and I just had Bedelia just share. Say, "Bedelia, why do you want to get baptized?" And Bedelia, with just such a sensitive heart, just shared, even more precious than what she just shared right now, explaining that she was a sinner, and she understood that. She understood that she needed Jesus to die for her sins. So whether you're 8 or 78, the truth of the gospel, that reality has to be true. And so that's what makes the gospel so good. It can be for the 7-year-old and it can be for the 80-year-old. And so I'm thankful, Bedelia, that God saved you at such a young age. And I'm going to look forward to seeing what God does in your life. And as a church, we look forward to encouraging you in your walk with Jesus. So Bedelia, thank you for getting up here and sharing your testimony. All right, we got some guys coming up now. Jim. Why don't you make your way up? It's right here. You got it.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jim Byers. I appear to be the older one Greg was referencing. anyway, as a kid growing up, We had a religious household, but religion and Jesus were not paramount in our house at all. Looking back, I'd say it was more of a matter of convenience than practice. As I got a little bit older, fast forwarding into high school, my sophomore year, right at the tail end, we had a group of men come up and open fire on us, shooting and killing my best friend. It was pretty rough, and I kept being told, you know, you need to pray. I had no idea what that meant. Not a bit. I knew that I was supposed to say something, but I kept wanting to hear something back, and nothing ever happened. Fast forwarding from there, going into my junior year and through Christmas my senior year, I lost 6 more friends, including 4 in a car accident on Christmas night and 2 more that committed suicide. So it was a bit of a struggle, and I was angry, and I held on to that anger. And at this point, as I explained to Pastor Greg, I either hated God or I didn't believe in God, whichever one was worse. As it turns out, it's not believing, because if you hate, at least you believe still. So this was many years ago out in California. I came out here about 2005. I met a mutual friend who was a pastor, and we started having conversations, sometimes actually even at work. And he was the first one that brought me around to let me understand that I needed to trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't think I had a full grasp of what that actually meant at the time, but it was certainly my first step into finding my life with Jesus and where I am today. Now, as I grew older and more mature, I came to the realization that my anger, frustration, sadness, emptiness, all that just wasn't a sustainable lifestyle, even as I got married and had children and things like that. My past experiences made prayer seem like it was something that you only did when you needed something as a favor. And I wasn't praying. I wasn't looking for a favor. I was looking for peace. Looking back now, probably saying something to the Prince of Peace would have been a pretty good idea, but I didn't. So I found as I moved forward that I was very amateur in my relationship with Jesus, even as I believed that he had died for my sins. But once I did start finding that peace. Fast forward again, we started attending High Point Church back in November of this past year. We attended a baptism service here, and I believe it was Matt Miracle was giving his video testimony, and he said something in there about filling his God hole. That one kind of hit me a bit hard, and started to make a lot more sense. I hadn't been able to shake some of that emptiness that I had still, and the peace I needed was forgiveness in the sin, in my sin with Jesus Christ. I also want to mention that I had a long conversation. I want to talk about this because he's here, my friend AJ Smith. We met to talk about baseball, about Little League baseball, and a 1-hour baseball conversation turned into a 2-hour conversation about Jesus, and I don't think he even has any idea the impact that conversation had, and I'm so happy he's here with me today. For me, Romans 10, 9 through 10, kind of lines up with my circumstances, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. I put my trust in Jesus to save me from my sins. Now that I've kind of found this and started to allow this peace to come over me, I felt myself become more open and willing to discuss my relationship with Christ, with my friends, my family, and genuine, deep, meaningful conversations. I've been able to share my story with my children, which I never really thought I would do in detail. It's allowed me to grow in my faith, which has allowed me to grow in my role as a father, a husband, a brother, and a friend. For the first time that I can remember, everything in my life that matters, right down to inhaling and exhaling, has become free and easy. And for anybody that's wondering if they should come up here and ever do this, do it. It's absolutely awesome. Thank you.
Amen. Good job, buddy. You know, nowhere in Scripture that I can remember, I mean, you find one, you let me know, but it doesn't say that you have to give a public testimony in your church. It doesn't say it anywhere in Scripture. Now, I think Scripture does tell us to share our testimonies, but there is a value that we have at High Point Church, which is to get up and share a testimony. And the purpose of doing that is for God to use it in individuals' lives, for God to declare the truth of Scripture to people who are listening. And I'm thankful for Matt Miracle last November gave a video testimony, and that was a huge point in which God used in Jim's life. And I'm praying that Jim's testimony might impact some of your lives so that you might think, you know what, I can relate to that, relate to some of those stories. So, Jim, thank you for the boldness. I know this was not easy, but you show the grace of God by doing that. Shane, come on up. There you go.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thank you all for coming out. As Pastor Greg said, my name is Shane Saulwasser, and I was born and raised in Fresno, California. I grew up in a Lutheran church, and I was baptized when I was 4 years old. But I'm here today because I am a new person from who I was before. And Amen. It's not from anything I did. It's from the saving work of Jesus Christ and what he did on that hill in Calvary. When I graduated from high school, I intended to completely leave Christianity behind. I never really was too interested in the faith. I didn't really want to go to church ever when I was growing up. I didn't have a relationship with Christ. So at the University of California, Irvine, I sought after the typical college life. I wanted to party. I wanted to do all the fun things. But God had other plans. I don't remember giving my number out to this campus ministry. But the first week that I was there, I got a text message from a guy named Eric. He offered to purchase coffee for me, which he didn't. But we met at Starbucks, and he shared the gospel with me. And I got to tell you, I couldn't care less. I was more interested in doing other things. But for the first time when I was in college, I had something in common with someone who I met with. We both liked sports, and we really hit it off. So we went to another couple. I went to another couple events, went to some beach days and stuff, and I got to know some of the other guys there, and I really liked them. So I kept going. And eventually I started seeing things in their life that I also liked. And I started seeing things in my life that I didn't. So I went to church not just to please my mother, but because I was curious. In the summer of 2017, from the pulpit of Compass Bible Church in Aliso Viejo, California, Pastor Mike Fabares made a famous observation by A.W. Tozer. The first thing that comes to your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. That radically changed my life. Because in that moment, I didn't know Jesus, but I wanted to. You know, it was pretty providential today that we sung the song, Death Was Arrested. I couldn't tell you how many times I listened to that song when I was a baby Christian. Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sins. That was me. My conversion wasn't easy. College was a lonely time in my life. I watched a lot of television sitcoms about guys having fun with their friends, hanging out, drinking, having a good time. And I wish that that could be me. And even having the saving faith in Jesus Christ, I still struggled with what's been described as the seven deadly sins, from laziness to gluttony to lustfulness. My heart was always filled with envy. But I started studying the scriptures, and I learned that those problems weren't unique to me. Job was told by his wife to curse God and die. Jeremiah at times wrote that he forgot what happiness felt like. Don't even get me started about what the apostles faced from their persecutions, beheadings, exile, prisons. Job confidently proclaimed that he knew his Redeemer lived. Jeremiah always called to mind that the Lord's mercies are new every morning. And you couldn't keep the apostles from singing. After graduating college, I decided to come to law school, and, you know, I ended up in Iowa only because God wanted me here. It was January of 2020 when I was accepted into Drake, and I had a couple of other Midwestern schools open for me, so I decided to visit in March of 2020. That didn't happen because COVID. So I moved here blindly in August of 2020. I started going to Valley Church. I don't know if any of you guys are lawyers, but your first year of law school is isolating enough as it is. But I didn't meet my classmates face to face for the whole first year. I attended Valley Church in West Des Moines in August of 2020 up until March of 2023, and when I started coming to High Point. And eventually it was there that I met my wife, Megan Bailey, the next August of 2021. The following August, we were engaged and we just got married in October. Lord. I'm so grateful for the life that I've been given in Christ Jesus. Because I believe that neither life nor death, neither angels nor rulers, nor anything else in all of creation can ever separate us from the love of God. Amen. I'm so grateful to be a part of His church and the family of Christ so we could focus not on this world, not on the here and now, but on our heavenly call. Amen. Forever.
Amen. Good job. I don't know about lawyer, but I hear preacher. I guess we need some preachers that are lawyers. I know who to call if I ever need one. Okay, Max, my man, come on up here, brother. Close us out strong, my man.
I'm Max Burns, and this is my testimony. I don't remember the details of how I got saved, so most of this will be what I know must have happened in order for Jesus to save me. I was saved when I was around 6 years old, hearing the gospel from my parents and teachers in Sunday school, and them teaching me how to be saved. I know that God is angry at me for sinning. I knew that I would have to go to hell for the things I did because someone had to pay for those things. Jesus died on the cross and got in trouble for the sins, for my sins, so I could go to heaven. I was saved when I believed that Jesus did that for me, and I asked him to pay for my sins. I'm getting baptized because I know that in the Bible, God said that Christians must be baptized. So today I'm obeying God and getting baptized.
Amen. Max, thank you so much. All right, you're first, buddy. His dad's going to come up here. Boy, you're already jumping in. Hello. You know, Max, you said something very simple, and this is what the truth is. And you don't mind, I'm going to read this just real quick. Max, this is what you said. You ready? You said Jesus died on the cross for your sins so that you could go to heaven. Did you hear him? Come and hear what Jesus has done for his soul. Are you listening? Max, I know it's a huge privilege for your dad to baptize you. And I'm going to let him do so, and he's going to pray for you, okay? So you guys just, in your own hearts, pray with his dad, Ray. There you go. You just take that path all the way down, and Jeff will help you out. And Ray, you might need a towel as well. If you do, we have towels over there, Ray. Okay, Shane, come on over. If you have a towel, if you don't, I'm going to grab a few. Grab me a few towels here. You got your towel, all right. Shane, jump on in. Let me grab this for you. No, your shoes off, yeah. Shane, based on your testimony of saving grace in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, brother, it's a privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There you go. Yeah, there you go. Just don't touch any cords. Jim, or you'll be meeting your maker sooner than later. Jim, come on up, buddy. You got your towel, too? Thanks, brother. Jump on in. Go ahead and put your feet that way and sit down. Jim, based on your testimony of saving grace in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, my friend, it is a privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You got it, buddy. Thanks, sir. His son told me to hold him down a little longer. Was that long enough? A little longer? Bedelia, come on up. You take off your shoes. You want me to hold your glasses? Okay. All right, Bedelia. What a privilege it is to first of all hear your testimony of saving faith. I'm so thankful for your testimony and you getting out in front of everyone to share it. It is a privilege, Bedelia, to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Great job. Okay, let's get this. There you go. Here's your sandals. She did great, didn't she, buddy? So proud of her. Oh, here's your glasses. All right, Kate, come on up. And I believe her dad's going to be doing this. All right. Let me grab that towel for you, Kate. Why don't you jump in? And I'm going to let your dad pray with you and baptize you. And so all the rest of us, just bow your heads and just pray with James, her dad. There you go, Dad. Good job. There you go. Gracie, come on up. Oh, yeah, I can take it up here. So when she gets out, yeah, sorry. Gracie, so thankful for your testimony and the boldness by which you shared it. I'm thankful for Amber Soy and the young ladies that did that Bible study, Dana, who's probably here, I would imagine, right? All these people that God has used in your life to point you and direct you to Jesus Christ for saving faith. So thank you for sharing that with your church. It is a privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There you go. All right. Annalise. Let's make sure. I did do everybody, right? I've done this before and someone yells at me, hey, I think I got everybody. Annalise, your dad is also going to be baptizing you. And so as he does that, he's going to pray with you church. Amen, the prayer that that Joe will be praying with Annalise. All right, please stand, and we're going to close in one final song. What a great opportunity. When you get a chance as you leave or as you're walking out, if you see any of these individuals, they will be the ones that are soaking wet. I would encourage you to both show gratitude for them getting up here. It's not an easy thing, but also to encourage them. And then for some of you, if you are here today and these testimonies that God has done and in these individuals' lives has sparked something in you, that you have questions, that you would like to know more about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, would you please come see me? The greatest news that was ever given was that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead.
Amen.
The victory that he declares is a victory you can declare if you know him. And I pray you do. Let's sing to that truth.